Broadcasting live from the WKBC studios in Garden City, this is the Morning Roundup with Baylen Hite and Derek Decker on 99.9 The Rock.
Good Tuesday morning. We're back. It's the Morning Roundup live here on 99.9 The Rock. So glad you could join us from our KWKR studios in Garden City. We got a special guest. It's Derek Decker, but this time Derek's in the house. So a little bit of a different feel having Derek sitting right next to us. Always a good time when Derek comes over from Dodge City. And yeah, Derek, it's been a little while since you've been in studio. You're back.
Yeah.
You're not listening to me or not seeing me through the comfort of the computer, I guess, or vice versa here for me. It's always fun when we get the in-studio feel. But, you know, we kind of have a somewhat busy night to recap, but it also kind of feels like it's a normal night. But when you look at it based on the last, like, 3 or 4 days in sports, it really seems kind of mundane. It's not as busy of a morning to recap. We're looking, obviously, ahead at some top matchups moving forward. We'll take a peek at the NFL divisional round, talk about Dodge City playing Great Bend tonight, and then you're looking at Kansas State, and Kansas is the big one. We'll also look at the divisional round and do our early predictions as to what we see, and then talk about our busy day. Not really for us, necessarily. I mean, you do have Dodge City tonight, but some of the other schools in particular really heating up in the tournament. Dodge City going to be taking place in the Tournament of Champions, as always. That'll keep Derek very, very busy. But do you kind of get that feeling, Derek? I don't know. Am I alone in that boat? It just feels like playoff first round's done.
Right.
We didn't really have a huge college basketball matchup last night.
Nope.
We had one high school basketball game, a really weird game for Scott City. The fact that they played on a Monday, but that's part of the Sterling Invitational. They're off today because of their wins, both the girls and boys winning. It just feels weird. I don't know.
Well, let me just start off by saying this. As far as the solo game goes with Dodge City's girls and Great Bend tonight, I'm going to feel like I'm stepping back in time and going back to a time where there weren't doubleheaders. So it's going to feel like a super short night. And I know you feel the same way because you're kind of used to it too. So it's going to be interesting. But it's a good kind of a showcase type of event for the younger generation at Dodge City tonight. They're going to play all three games inside the main gym in the field house. So that'll be good for both the C team and the JV team before tonight. But yeah, I think you're right. And here's my question to you. At what point did you start to get disinterested in the Bucks game last night? Since your pick flew out the window,
yeah,
about
right.
5 minutes into the
game. I would
say,
to be honest, I did not watch that game, like, seriously the entire game.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I flipped on and off.
Yep.
We had just gotten home, me and my fiance, and it was just kind of one of those things where I had it on.
I was doing prep. Yeah,
yeah, like we just kind of had it on the background, and then we're big SVU fans. I don't know if you watch Law and Order SVU. I don't know. So that was just kind of like, it was on Peacock anyway, so, you know, we'd watch an episode, kind of flip it back, see what was going on ESPN, and then come back to it. But yeah, my pick flew right out the window. Dak Prescott looked great. 4 passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown. Tom Brady looked like he wanted to get the heck out of Tampa Bay or the NFL. I don't know. We'll talk about that here in a moment, but yeah, it was a weird game. Like, we had five games went one possession or less.
Yeah.
And then this game, just a snoozer. I mean, it really, really was a snoozer. There was a lot more interest in the missed PATs there from Brett Maher and, you know, what Peyton Manning may have been reacting to on the Manning cast. By the way, I love the Manning cast. That if the fiance was not sitting next to me, probably would have been watching the game on the Manning cast just because.
Right.
That's the way to go in a game like that. Get to see Eli and Peyton, you know, kind of take jabs at Tom, somebody that they've gone back and forth with, and just enjoy playoff football. But yeah, I mean, did you see that coming from the Cowboys at all, or even an inkling close to that?
I didn't think it'd be a blowout. I did think the Cowboys were going to win this game. I thought the Cowboys were better. You know, the Bucks showed some signs, and it's always difficult to bet against the best quarterback that's ever played the game. But at the same time, like, we saw the weaknesses of the Bucks all season. So we kind of knew what this team could look like at its worst, and that's what we got last night, is we got the bad Bucks, and the Cowboys took advantage of that. And despite the missed extra points and the field goal fiasco, they really took care of business on the road. And 5 touchdowns from Dak, really impressive. And if you're looking at that final score and thinking 31-14, how did they get to 5 touchdowns? Well, that explains the kicking game. But no, I'm impressed by the Cowboys going forward. I think is this, well, let me ask you this. Do you think this is time to start readjusting our expectations of the Cowboys in the playoffs and maybe stop memeing them and take them for real?
That's certainly the conversation this morning. And Ross Miller always makes a great point over on KBUF. It's, you're going to get something from the Cowboys, enough to keep you involved, but maybe not enough to give them full trust.
Right.
I went back and watched the highlights, seeing Dak make a couple of nice plays. It's the Bucs defense. This defense has struggled all year long. Really, the only team the Bucs have beaten has been their divisional opponents, and that division was awful, the worst division in football all year. I don't know. I just don't know. Like, I feel like, okay, maybe if they weren't playing the 49ers, you give me any other team that's left out there in the NFC, and I'd feel really, really good, especially because the other three teams, or the other two teams that are out there outside of the 49ers and Cowboys, are divisional rivals for the Cowboys.
That.
And that's so weird to see.
Sure.
That's how good the division's been. They have three of the four teams in the NFC divisional round. I mean, that is really...
And they've had some really bad years.
Yeah,
so.
They have. Yeah, the NFC least to the NFC beast. I mean, that's a one-year turnaround, essentially. I like the Cowboys a lot. The line this morning was at 4. I don't know if that one's going to move a whole lot. But I think, you know, if the Cowboys don't have as resounding of a win as they had last night, that line's probably sitting somewhere around 6 or 7 points. I don't know if I'm that far off in that assumption. That was my initial thought coming in. You know, I would have said Cowboys probably about 7 points, 6 points, and then Patriots almost 9 points, depending on if they'd won that game or not. But I want to trust the Cowboys. Like, I want Dak to succeed. I want Mike McCarthy to succeed. I love Tony Pollard. He's one of my favorite running backs in all the NFL. Really want, he had a great game last night. Really want them to do well. But I just don't know what it's going to look like against the 49ers, because I could see both these teams falling out flat. Like, the 49ers have a ton of expectations. They're my Super Bowl contender out of the NFC, their pick. Not my Super Bowl pick, but my NFC championship winner. It's going to be a really good game, and I'm glad it's the final game of the day, because most people will be able to see it, and that will really give us a true glimpse in the NFC. We're going to chat a lot more about, you know, these playoffs and what we're looking at. One last thing from this game, though, and this is going to be a question ongoing for quite some time. Is this it for Tom Brady overall? Is this it for him in Tampa? Personally, I think this is it for him in Tampa. He threw the ball 60-plus times last night. I mean, oh my goodness. Like, some of those throws were fine, but some of them look bad. He gives you the kind of the stereotypical, like, oh, I'm going to take it day by day. I don't know what I'm doing. The kind of the Aaron Rodgers-ism of how he wants to navigate this and go about it. And that's fine and fair. I'll start with this. Are there teams out there after this season that will still vie for Tom Brady's services, Derek? I would assume teams are going to get desperate, but realistically, contenders. They're the contenders that we would have out there that need a quarterback or think that they're close to contending. Would they come after a guy like Tom Brady at this point in his career?
I you tell me. I mean, you think about some of the teams that need a quarterback that theoretically could be close to contending. I mean, first thing in my mind, obviously, the team that has high draft pick is the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
It's a possibility. It depends on what they want to do with Kyler.
Need a new head coach, too.
Yes. What direction do they go? I'm definitely going to start the... Cliff Kingsbury to Indiana deal, but no.
He's in Thailand. He doesn't want anything.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Got nothing to do with it. One-way ticket to Thailand, like, what, 30-some million guaranteed over the next 5 years? You know, he's doing what everybody else would probably do.
Exactly.
Just disappearing.
You know what? And I don't blame him, but
yeah, it's fair.
So the Cardinals could be in the market for a quarterback. The next option is maybe the Colts. They're a team that could contend. They have some pieces on defense. If they're healthy, they're good enough. We saw them even at, you know, not full strength, they were able to take down possibly the best team in the NFL in the Chiefs. And granted, the Chiefs made a lot of mistakes in that game, but I'm just saying, like, the Colts' upside is big, and they have a high draft pick, so it's possible. I don't know. Those are the two that kind of immediately jumped my mind. Obviously, there's a lot of history there with the Colts. The Cardinals maybe would be a more logical solution.
Warm.
And that's, I was just going to point that out too, is when you're a guy that is in the situation that Tom Brady's in, you can basically pick wherever you want to go. And he picked Tampa at, well, granted, you know, of his roots, you know, talking about Florida, but he picked Tampa after spending all those cold, cold winters in Foxborough. So I don't know if this is the end. I will say this. Last night, not reading too much into it, but he finished off his presser by talking about, you know, he's like thanking the reporters and, you know, thanking all the people for being around and, you know, you guys work hard, you have a tough job. It seems like a guy that I don't know if that was specific toward the Tampa people, and it seemed like it was more specific towards like the Tampa beat guys than overall, like all media. Right. So I think you're onto something. I don't think he's done. Obviously, heard Joe Buck say it last night in the post game. People inside the game think that he's going to be around. Not necessarily with Tampa Bay. That's not the point. The point is he's going to be playing the NFL next year. I think he should be playing in the NFL next year. He's certainly talented enough to be a starting quarterback still, as old as he is. But I don't necessarily think you need a quote-unquote desperate team. It's whichever team has enough cap space and is willing to give him a bunch of money, they're going to do it. And I don't know how you could pass up the opportunity. So, again, there are plenty of teams out there that make sense, and I still think the Cardinals kind of fly under the radar with this a little bit. But with the murky situation with Kyler, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm at least giving him a look and sending out a flyer.
Even for 1 year, I don't know if Murray's even going to be available.
That's
next
what I'm
year.
Saying. Yeah, so there's, even if it's just a rental.
There's that option out there. The 49ers have been floated around, but now with Brock Purdy and the way he's been playing, you get a guy like Brock Purdy for very, 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 very cheap. I don't even know if you want to look Tom Brady's way. Here's a couple of other teams that are kind of interesting, and this goes a little bit with the weather. The Tennessee Titans, you know, Mike Vrabel, they've got a connection there. The location, no, but the makeup of the team, the way they need a quarterback, they can run the football with Derrick Henry.
Wouldn't have to be used very much.
Decent offensive line, they could probably buy and sell. They got a new general manager coming in, so there's going to be some potential there, I think. And then one more team kind of looking out. The New England Patriots. There is a potential for return there for Tom. I don't know what that would look like with Bill Belichick. They've got a fine offensive line. They've got an okay quarterback situation. Draft capital is pretty normal, nothing special. I know the weather. The weather is always going to be a key. And then the Dolphins have been tossed in and out of there. I don't know if he makes that much sense with a new head coach like Mike McDaniel. Tom Brady is not a guy who likes to play with new head coaches. He likes veteran coaches.
Right.
So,
well, if you're talking about not necessarily a veteran coach, but a guy he has plenty of familiarity with, what do you think about the Raiders? Obviously, that's a good target,
that's,
too.
That's another one, too.
Indoor. With the history, it's indoors. He's got the history. He spent so many years with Josh McDaniels.
Davis wanted him, and then that was the John Gruden quote.
Yep.
We are good with who we have and Derek Carr, and it was kind of talked about when it happened in the quote. It was about Tom Brady. Then it comes out months later that it was about Tom Brady. So there's that too, for sure.
It's very intriguing. Yeah. And I think this is the thing. Like, I enjoy this kind of thing because it's less dramatic. It's not like the Aaron Rodgers situation every offseason. Like that just annoys me to no end. And we have to talk about it because it's a big story. And Aaron Rodgers knows that, but for Tom Brady, decidedly better quarterback, and a guy who has the best history in the league. And, you know, this is a guy. And I still think, you know, of course, being from Indiana and the rivalry that developed with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady over the years, that continued into the Andrew Luck era as well. Like, this guy has really matured over the course of his career. And I think, you know, most people that hated him at some point in his career, like, I don't, who hates him now?
He isn't really,
but he's matured Redemption so much. Tour. Exactly. Yeah, and he's grown up. He's gotten to a point where he's generally a pretty respectful guy. I mean, he's seriously, like, this guy's got his stuff together, and, you know,
he's a little odd. I get it. Some people don't like the
divorce, too, and all that, but
what
still.
Is it, the avocado ice cream? Or I get that stuff. I get it. What you're
kissing
saying.
The sun thing. Right. Remember that a couple years ago?
Yeah. And I get it. He's got some quirks and stuff like that, but you know, a lot of people were kind of taking flack and hitting him hard with the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, divorce is extremely common, unfortunately, in this country. One in almost every two, right? Almost 50%. How would you like, you know, your family's arguably biggest moment being played out and not just in national news because of, you know, Giselle and her worldwide international popularity, but because in the sporting world as well? I mean, those kids, that's not an easy road.
Not at all.
I feel like Tom handled it very well. Look, he wanted to come back and play football. It sounds like Giselle wasn't about it. They tried to make it work. It didn't work. It was very, very publicized. He kept it quiet. I mean, there were a couple of comments. There was that one. It's like, you know, I'm 45 years old. He said, you know, S word explicit happens. Like that is what it is. And sure, I mean, he took care of business this year, got the Bucks, who had a very bad roster, a very injured roster, to the playoffs. And I think you're right. I think after last night, despite some poor play, he'll be back in the league somewhere.
Agreed.
And I would much rather pay attention to this than I would the Aaron Rodgers saga, because Tom's going to demand a lot of money, right? Probably 10 to 15 a year, maybe.
Somebody could give him more, right.
Yeah, somebody could give him more, but 10 to 15 is probably about what he's worth, somewhere in there. Maybe over a two-year deal, you get 30, 45, somewhere. I don't know what that would look like. You know, Aaron Rodgers is getting that over the course of a year. And Aaron is still a good quarterback. I'm not saying he's not, but it's just the theatrics that come with
That's what I'm saying.
Extra stuff that...
You don't have to deal with that with Tom Brady.
He's just quiet, comes in...
He's a winner.
Does his job and wins, right? Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, and I'm much more intrigued by that potential storyline as to where Tom goes. And sitting here as an Indianapolis Colts fan, I know you too, Derek. I don't know if I would have said that 5 years ago, but at this point where we're at, especially with the Colts, I'm totally okay letting Tom have his time and figure out what's the best situation for him, as long as he stays out of the AFC South. I would not like a Mike Vrabel reunion
there with the
Tennessee Titans. That would be an issue for sure. Let's talk about our next story here, morning news and notes, before we finish it up and look at that K-State and Kansas matchup after this next break. Scott City boys and girls both win last night in the Sterling Invitational, a rare Monday night matchup. Girls won 65-61 in overtime versus Kingman. Boys beat Lions 69-31. They both advance and will play tomorrow. I incorrectly said that this morning on the morning sports update. They do not play tonight. They are back in action tomorrow from that Sterling Invitational. And then we get into our full list of games as well tonight. Derek, including your game, Dodge City and Great Bend. We talked about it kind of previously. Standalone game. I am yet, I think, to have a standalone game. I think Thursday night will be my first standalone game for high school basketball this entire season. So tonight you're getting that opportunity. It is just the girls, right?
It's just the girls.
Just the girls. You said everybody's getting to play in the main arena. Sadie Spray, you got that name written down, 18 points per game for Great Bend. She can really shoot the basketball. Did a great job against Garden City. Big game, I think, for Dodge City in the sense that you just beat what many had projected. I know they've not looked maybe the part the entire year. The number three team in 6A. You get your biggest win of the year. Now you're back at home right before kind of an odd stretch of off days and not really in your own schedule. You got to play a pretty feisty Great Bend team that has struggled in WAC play, but has been right there with most teams.
Yeah, and this is a team in Dodge that's going to have 9 days off after this game because they get ready for the McPherson Invitational, and Kelly Snodgrass loves those type of tournaments. Dodge, of course, on the boys' side, they're always kind of locked into the tournament of champions. The girls rotate between three or four sites, so you go every 3-4 years to these places, and you're back at the Roundhouse. And I think the way that they competed with McPherson the first time to open the season, McPherson is a tremendous team, and Dodge City took them to the wire, 6-point game against a very, very experienced group in McPherson. So I think Kelly Snodgrass has kind of tried to keep in mind that this team can compete with the best, and of course they just took down Liberal. So certainly a team that's playing with confidence right now. They've won three in a row, really nice win at Guymon before they beat Liberal. They're certainly playing their best basketball of the season and took care of Trinity, and that's a team that has been kind of sneaky on a few teams. So Dodge is playing a lot better basketball, and I think the most impressive thing that they did against Liberal, number one, they were able to slow them down significantly. Very slow-paced game, low possession, which is what Dodge has to do to be in games, and that's fine. But they don't have the athletes on paper. They don't have the athletes or the length to compete with a team like Liberal, but they got them in foul trouble. They shut down the point guard, Cisneros, and that's how you win a game. You play zone. And that's what, and Snodgrass is not a zone person. I've talked about this on the show before, but Dodge went to a zone this year because of their personnel. So they went to a 2-3, and that's their base defense now. But regardless, I think Dodge is playing some of their best basketball. They did it on Friday night without Becca Unruh for a good chunk of that game because of foul trouble. She only had 3 points, and all of them were from the free throw line. So they're getting better production out of Yeisha Potts underneath the big, who is, just kind of an X factor for this Dodge team. For Great Bend, talked to Cindy Beck yesterday, third-year coach for the Lady Panthers, and it is really all about Mercedes Spray. 18 points a game, first-team All-WAC. She's also second-team All-WAC in volleyball. Very good athlete. And let me tell you, as you know, this team in Great Bend has tons of athletes. They're just athletes on this roster that play their sports. A lot of them play volleyball. A lot of them are getting college looks for softball.
Same way with the boys, too.
Exactly. Yeah. So Great Bend does a great job of doing that in terms of sharing their athletic abilities. Mercedes Spray just took a visit to Benedictine not too long ago, so she's getting some looks for basketball. And then, of course, Emily Hall is kind of that second piece, I think, for them. Last year, it was thought for a good chunk that Emily Hall would be the leading scorer for Great Bend. Sadie Spray stepped into that role about halfway through last season and took over the scoring and said, I'm going to be the scorer. She almost never comes off the floor for them. This is a team that's 4-5, but a dangerous team, right? They took Garden City to a very close game. Things kind of waned in the second half against Hayes in that home game, and they just lost to a very good Hutch team. They've played some good teams. It's a 4-5 group, but this is a little bit misleading, and I think you're probably primed for another very low-scoring game, a group that averages in the low 40s, Dodge is in the mid-30s, so probably not that many points tonight. If you're looking for points, this is not the game for you, but Dodge City has been in close games all year. I mean, you look back at the start of the year. By the way, the game on Friday night, neither team led by more than 6 points in that game against Liberal, which makes sense. There's only 61 points in the game, but there were 6 ties, 8 lead changes in that game. But you look back, I mean, the Guymon game was single digits for a long time. The Garden Plain game, the Southeast game. I mean, you can go all the way back to the start of the season where they lost by 6, lost by 5. Like, Dodge has been in close games all year because of that zone. They keep themselves in every game that they play. It's very hard to score against Dodge City. And, you know, this is a team I think I could see winning this game. And then all of a sudden you look up, Dodge City's 2-0 in the conference if they win tonight. And they theoretically could be in command of this conference before you blink.
And that's a huge win over Liberal, too, because mm-hmm. what you're going to be looking at is, let's say Liberal comes back, kind of that team that a lot of people expect, beat Dodge the second time. That tiebreaker is pretty much null. At that point, it's just who has the best record in the conference,
yep.
who doesn't slip up, and you know, could they, the way they look at that, that's a huge win number one in the conference for Dodge City on the women's side. And I think it brings a lot more intrigue, the way the girls have been playing and kind of the resurgence at Garden City just a touch
yeah.
to that January 31st match
no
at the
question.
Other month. Because I think that just coming into the year, these were looked at as maybe two of the bottom teams in the conference.
But it's all just right close right. together,
and
right?
Everybody's bunched up, and it's been a really, really competitive side.
How about this, too? One last note on this game tonight. Dodge City has won 11 in a row against Great Bend. Isn't that amazing? And the series is still, it's 47-46 all time. But Dodge City has won 11 straight against Great Bend. So certainly the Lady Panthers hungry for a road win tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. And then that gives Dodge City a couple of days off. A lot of the conference getting a couple of days off with the boys going to a couple of tournaments. It'll be nice to get that break. And then they'll kind of flip-flop. Girls will play in a tournament the following week. Boys will get that week off. So we'll see how all the teams are able to respond after a long break. Speaking of breaks, we're going to take our first this morning, the morning roundup. When we come back, we will preview that big-time college basketball matchup that stays here inside the Sunflower State, Kansas State and Kansas. This is for the top of the Big 12 standings. What's it going to look like? Why we think it'll go a certain way? We'll bring you that and more. And then we're going to do our way too early NFL divisional playoff predictions. We'll pick one team that's a favorite to cover, an underdog to cover, one underdog to win, and then which of the four games we think might be the best weekend and why. Keep it right here. It's the Morning Roundup on 99.9 The Rock.
More of the Morning Roundup next on 99.9 The Rock.